Amen. If you have your Bibles, just for a few moments here this morning, we're going to look over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. What we want to talk about this morning is, how is your hearing? Amen. And I'm not talking about natural hearing. I'm talking about spiritual hearing. I'm talking about hearing what thus saith the Lord. Amen. I'm talking about understanding what God says to us. How is your hearing? Our natural hearing fails as we get older. I'm getting older. My hearing is failing. My wife's hearing is failing her. Amen. And we sort of have this little challenge going on of which one of us has better hearing. And so shortly I'll be retired here, and I'm going to go, and we're going to go have our ears checked. And then we don't bet. We're Christian people, so we don't bet. I'm saying my hearing's better than hers, so we're going to go to the hearing doctor, and we're going to find out whose hearing is really better. I think mine's better. She thinks hers is better. But we're going to find out. So if my hearing's off, I can get some adjustments made to that to help me to hear better. There's a problem, maybe an internal problem in my ear that I'm not hearing well naturally. Well, spiritually speaking, a lot of times people don't hear what thus saith the Lord. They don't hear what God is saying. It doesn't really enter into their ear and get down into their heart. And God wants us to hear, and he wants us to understand. There's times in the scripture, it was in the Old Testament, it was in the New Testament, I believe it was the words of Jesus. They said they have eyes and they see not, they have ears and they hear not. And that is a serious condition to be in. There are many people that are going to church today across our country and around the world. They have eyes, but they can't see what's going on in this world. They have ears, but they can't hear what's going on in this world. And you can take that right down to their own personal lives. They can't even see. I want to know what the enemy's trying to do to me. I want to have eyes, spiritual eyes, to see what the enemy's trying to do to me. I want to have spiritual ears to be able to hear what the enemy's trying to do to me so that I can go on the attack against him. I don't want to be blinded to the facts and realities that there's an enemy out there to get me. There's an enemy out there to get you, and God wants to help us. But we have to have our ears open. We have to have our eyes open. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. This is the teaching that was given here, and it's very important. And so, speaking of how is your hearing, and it says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned on to fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And this was a letter to Timothy, where he was inspiring him, but he was warning him, and it says, they shall turn away their ears from the truth. How are your ears today? Do you really want to know the truth? Or do you want a buttered truth, something that's easier for you to accept? That's a natural thing that we have about us. We like things that sound smooth to us. We like them to sound right. Many people really do not want to know the truth. They say they do, but they really do not want to know the truth. And spiritually speaking, you should want to know the truth. You should want to know. I'll say it to my bosses at work sometime. I'll say to them, if I'm ever doing something, I'm getting the job done, but you see there's an easier way to do it, or you see that I'm about to make a mistake, or I'm making it harder on myself than what it should be. Don't be afraid to come and talk to me and to say, hey, look, I know you mean well and you're going about it this way, but there's an easier way to do it. There's a better way to do it. And it should be the same way with God. We should go to God. God, if there's a better way that I can be doing things in my life, reveal it to me. Show it to me. We shouldn't be afraid of God. I'm not going to go to him because he's going to want me to do this, this, and that. Do we want the truth, or do we not want the truth? How is it? And you can pray this way. God, and God can reveal it to you. He can manifest it to you. God, when you look at me, how do you see me? Let me see me like you see me. That's something that many of us might not want to do, because it would be like, wow, we would then see all of our faults. We would then see all of our failures. And there was that one prophet in the Old Testament, when he got into the presence of God, I mean, he just fell down. It was just that the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and he realized he was nothing. He realized he was incomplete. And really, that's what we are in and of ourselves. I want to know the truth. I don't want it to be buttered over and glossed over, and I lose my own soul in the end. There's many people that are going to lose their own souls in the end because they say they want to know the truth, but they want to know the truth as they think it is, not what thus saith the Lord, not the way the Bible says it is. And so false teaching in the day that we're living? How is our hearing? It's more prominent in this time that we're living. It's a time of tolerance and a time of rebellion against God. We just need to tolerate it. We just need to put up with it. Sometimes we need to stand up against the sins and against the things that this world has. And so what the culture of this world wants today, it's not just here in America, but make sure that you don't fall into this category. You want an easy religion. You can come to church. You can get the pat on the back. You can get the shake of the pastor's hand. You can get the approval of people around you. And it doesn't matter how you're living. It doesn't matter what you're involved in. It doesn't matter how far you're living away from the truth of God's word. Somebody will say to you, it's okay. That's the kind of religion that people want today. They want a religion where there's no effort required. We don't get to heaven by our works, but there's an effort required on our part. We have to do our part. God will keep his part. You can go into the book of Deuteronomy and look at all the promises of God there and all the blessings that God had. And they were only going to have those blessings if they did certain things God's way. Amen. In the same way in our lives, we're only going to have God's complete blessing when we do it his way. But it says here, they're going to turn their ears away from the truth. Amen. They want to have a religion that there's no consequences for sin. In fact, there's a lot today that want to have a religion that they would even struggle with answering the question, what is sin? And some of them would come up with an answer, sin is something that's just conceived in a man's mind that he thinks it's wrong, and it's just what he thinks, and it's not really sin. What is sin? We need to know what sin is. You need to know what's wrong, because there are consequences for sin. There are consequences for sin. People in the age that we're living, live however you want. As long as you're happy doing it, what is that to me? What is that to God? Because after all, doesn't God want us all to be happy? And I'm happy doing this thing, so God must be pleased with it. That's the kind of religion that people want. And that's talking about in verse 4 that we read there, they're going to turn their ears away from the truth. People live in this culture, this country that we're living in, this world. They live however they want. There's no boundaries. They want no authority. Nobody can tell them anything. They're just basically what they're going to do, and it goes back to this all the time. People are just going to do what they think is right in their own eyes. And if it bothers you, then you're the problem. And if it bothers God, then God's the problem. Who is God to tell me how to live? People will defy God. Amen. And sadly enough, there's teachers and preachers, amen, who are more than willing to give to the people what they want to hear. They just gloss it over. They just butter it over and just accept everybody in. They're afraid to call sin out. Amen. They're really giving speeches to their church or motivational speakers talking about the goodness and how wonderful and God loves you and God wants you to love others and God wants to bless you. God wants you to bless others and everything's just all beautiful and wonderful. They don't preach what the Word of God says about the way we live, because in the Word of God, God got very down personal with how people live, and he gave them a standard to live by. He gave them rules to live by. Amen. And it's not just in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament also. And so there are false teachers out there everywhere. You better have good hearing, because if you don't, you're going to get swept up by a false teacher. They're going to say something that catches your attention, that catches your ear, and you're going to think, man, I like the sounds of that. That's got to be right. And they're very convincing on what they say. Amen. Out there in this age that we're living, there's prosperity preachers. Amen. There are preachers who deny a literal eternity. You're not going to live forever. You're like an animal. When it's over, and that's the end. There are preachers that preach that kind of a religion. There are preachers that preach this kind of religion, that you earn your way to heaven. And there's ones that say it this way. It's like scales. And when it comes to the end of your life, and they like to teach this, they don't say it literally this way, but it's threaded throughout their teaching. If you do more good than evil in your lifetime, you're into heaven. There's a teaching out there like that. You just do good. You're going to earn your way to heaven. That is not biblical. Amen. And then I'm going over to 1 Thessalonians. You could turn over there if you want to. Amen. 1 Thessalonians. I might have trouble finding it just like you do. Amen. 1 Thessalonians. Yeah, I'm having trouble finding it this morning. Amen. 1 Thessalonians. It's back here. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And you know, we as believers, we can get thoroughly disgusted and we can become bitter against false teachers. It's like they just rub us the wrong way, and it should rub us the wrong way, but we shouldn't become bitter against false teachers. Here's what we should do. Number 20 of 1 Thessalonians 5, despise not prophesying, because people will come and prophesy in the name of the Lord, and it's as far from God as you could get things that they'll say. But what we got to do in 21, here's what we should do. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Prove all things. If this thing is of God that somebody is saying, then it's going to come to pass. If it's not of God, it's not going to happen. People will come out. Just because somebody says, thus saith the Lord, doesn't mean that it's thus saith the Lord, because people can say those words and put anything behind it. That's a dangerous ground to get on. But we don't want to be bitter against them. We need to be able to detect. We need to have ears to hear. We need to be able to detect a false teacher or a false prophet. Amen. A false teacher, they teach that God wants you. There's people out there that teach this prosperity doctrine, and it's true in a sense, to a point. But they teach you that God wants you to be happy and wealthy, and if a Christian isn't rich, they aren't praying hard enough, or you need to pray that God will increase your faith so you can be rich. And that's the gospel that they preach. Amen. The Bible teaches different about what this world offers. Amen. Mark 10:25, it said it's easier for an camel to go through an eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And when it talks about riches, it says this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 21, 19, 20, and 21. It says this, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God, give me ears to hear. I don't want to get caught up in this movement, in this thing that it's all about wealth. It's all about money. It's all about laying up for retirement. It's all about laying up for later in life. There's a doctrine out there like that, that if you're not prospering, you know what some will say? If you're not prospering, it's because there's sin in your life. And that is true in a sense. That could very possibly be true. But they just think God wants everybody to have the best of everything, and the prosperity doctrine that many of them are preaching. And just follow me with this thought. It's not a universal gospel. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is a universal gospel. It can be preached in any land, nation, tongue, and tribe, and it will fit in their culture. The prosperity doctrine that many preachers are teaching, false preachers are teaching, will not work in some of these poor countries in the world. Go to Haiti and tell them there must be sin in your life because you're not prospering. There must be sin in your life because you're only able to eat 3 meals a week. Something's wrong. God doesn't want it that way. God wants to bless you. And so the prosperity doctrine, any doctrine that anybody has, should be a universal gospel. It can work in any country. It can work with any people, tribe, tongue, or nation. It should be that way. Another thing that false teachers won't do, and God give us ears to hear, false teachers will not call out sin. They will tolerate sin. That was going on in Paul's day. There was some very, very perverted sexual sins that were going on in one of the churches, and Paul, I believe it was, had to call that out. There was a young man that was having his stepmother, I think it was that way, it was set that way, and there was an immoral activity going on, and the church knew about it, and they were just like okay with it. They weren't calling it out. Paul called that out. False teachers won't call sin out. Why won't they call sin out? Because they're afraid of offending people. They're afraid of offending people. So they gloss over sin just to keep people happy. We got to be careful with that. There are certain sins that are never okay, and a lot of churches will not call them out. But this word right here calls them out. And it's homosexuality, fornication, adultery. Gluttony is one of them. Greed. Amen. They'll teach that these things really aren't sin. That's just your cross to bear in life. That's just the struggle you have. It's not about sin. Being an alcoholic, that's a sin. Churches and people won't call those things out because they're afraid they'll offend people. Amen. There's no need to worry. There's no need to change. God's a God of love. He understands your downfallings. He'll just love you anyways. God does not tolerate sin. The Bible teaches contrary. It teaches that sin is a real issue, and sin is a big issue because sin separates us from God and condemns us to hell. And so without Christ, we'd never be able to be in good standing with God. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Colossians 3:5-6, we have to put to death these evil deeds. And then it gives a list of those evil deeds. And some of the ones I mentioned are there. That's what this Bible says. Yeah, but they're a loving person. Yeah, they sure are a loving person. There's no doubt about it, but God doesn't tolerate sin. It doesn't mean that we hate the person. God doesn't hate the person. God doesn't like the sin that they're involved in. We don't hate anybody, but we don't condone the sin that we're in. That doesn't mean we don't like the individual. We need to understand that. Amen, that our heart needs to reach out for them in prayer and in believing. Amen. And in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, if you look like that, or if you look at that, if you say that you have no sin, there's three verses there, but we're not reading them. If you say you have no sin, you're deceiving yourself. To think that you're perfect and there's no sin and everything's just hunky-dory, you're deceiving yourself if you say you have no sin. You can't ignore sin. If you do ignore sin, you are in reality rejecting the Savior. Yeah, there's sin in my life, but it seems like God's still blessing me. It still seems like things are going good. We can't ignore sin. We need to have ears to hear. And then there's false teachers out there. Just a couple of more points. It's noon right now. It's 1 minute after in case you're getting nervous. Amen. Another thing we need to have ears to hear. False teachers, they don't believe in hell or repentance. God wouldn't send, a loving God wouldn't send anybody to hell. And they don't believe in repentance. Amen. They'll teach that hell is just figurative in the Bible. It's not a reality. There's no place burning with fire and brimstone. There's no such place as that. There's no need to repent. They'll tell you there's no need to repent. And then they twist the scripture a little bit. And what they say here is true, but the first part's not true. No need to repent because Jesus died for everybody. And so because Jesus died for everybody, it's like there's a universal salvation out there. All of us are going to heaven. There's people that believe that. That's a doctrine of the devil. We need to have ears to hear, to understand and rightly divide the word of truth and know what the word of God says. Amen. Salvation isn't head knowledge alone. Because in James 2:19, the last part of that verse, and this is better than some people in the world, the demons, the devils, they believe and tremble. Because they know the truth of the reality. They know what their end is going to be. They know about this Jesus. They know about this salvation. They know about the power of God. And it says in James 2:19 that they believe it because they've been there. They've seen it. They know it. And they tremble because of it. But yet, here we are people, and we hear all these things and see them about God. We don't believe. We don't tremble. So therefore, this might hurt your feelings a little bit, but the demons are smarter than some people are because the demons believe and tremble. There's people out in this world that don't believe. They have no trembling. They have no fear of God. And so if you're going to be saved, Acts 2:38 talks about it. If you're going to be saved and experience this salvation, you must repent. They'll say, come as you are. That's true. Come as you are. But as you give your heart to God, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. This salvation that some so-called salvation that some people have today, they say they gave their hearts to God. There's zero change in them. They're just as foul-mouthed as they ever were. They're drinking just as much alcohol as they ever drank. They're doing as many drugs as they ever did. They're into sexual sins as much as they ever were in. And then they'll say, but the only difference now is if I die, I'm going to heaven because I believe in Jesus. That's a doctrine of devils. That it does not line up with the word of God. We need to have ears to hear, not to be swept into these things that go on in the world. Hell is a real place. There's real fire. There's real separation from God. And there are real people burning in hell right now because of their rejection of the truth. That's a fact. You can't say, everybody doesn't go to heaven when they die. We like to think, oh, that if anybody went to heaven, that one did. And most of the time, that's based on the good life that they lived, the good works that they did. That's not what gets you to heaven. It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 5:14 says, hell hath enlarged itself. Why has hell had to enlarge herself? Because there's so many people that don't believe. 2 Peter 3:9, Jesus isn't willing that any should perish. And here's the part. They don't believe in repentance. Jesus says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. We could do a teaching on that sometime. We could do a study on that sometime. There is a repentance. Amen. And false teachers tell you there's no need for that. False teachers don't believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. They believe that there's many paths to heaven. Yes, there's one destination. Amen. There's one destination, but there's many ways to get there. And if you believe that, you become tolerant. Then you fear to offend anyone that will make it to heaven, no matter their religion or belief. You can believe it that way, but I'll see you in heaven. That's as far from the truth. Jesus said in John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And that makes this, if you want to call it religion, that makes this Jesus supreme over everybody else. There's nobody else that's been able to claim that. There's nobody else that has risen from the dead. There's nobody else that died for your sins. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen. Jesus is the only way for you and me or anybody to have a relationship with God. Amen. We talked about it last week because that veil was torn for a purpose and a reason so that we can gain access to God, so that we can gain access, to God through Jesus Christ. We can gain access to God today through Jesus Christ. Amen. And the last point that I have this morning, false teachers believe that there are errors in the Scripture. There's errors in this Bible. It's messed up. There's things that contradict. It just goes against itself. They'll teach that. Amen. They'll say it has holes in it, but that isn't true. If we think the Scripture contradicts itself, then if you think that something in here contradicts itself, you're misunderstanding something that's written in here. It does not contradict itself. If you think you found something in there that contradicts itself, you come and you talk to me about that. Amen. You come and you talk to me about that. Amen. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. Amen. Or we either misunderstand something or we intentionally spin away from the proper interpretation. The proper interpretation is, thus saith the Lord. We sort of spin away from it. Yeah, but did he really mean it that way? I think it's a little bit different. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. I mean, I'm not reading those, but all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is God-breathed from Genesis to Revelation. Yeah, but man had their hands in it, and the different interpretations and translations, and, you know, it's messed up because they've put their... If God doesn't have the power to keep his word pure, then we're without hope. We're messed up. God has the power to keep this word pure as he meant it to be understood. And you can talk to me about that. Yeah, there's many... I can't even think of the word. There's many different types of Bibles out there, many different types of translations, but some of them are so far away from the truth. Amen. They're so far away from the truth. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the last scripture I'm making mention of, the word of God stands forever. This right here stands forever. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, the Bible says, but my word will abide forever. Amen. So true followers, stand on God's word. It's a true foundation. Stand to your feet this morning. Amen. God, give me ears to hear. Give me a mind that understands. Give me eyes that see. And if you make that a sincere prayer before God, literally, if we could see as God sees, we wouldn't be able to take it. If we'd be able to hear as God hears, we wouldn't be able to take it. But just, Lord, let my hearing be more attuned to your word and what thus saith the Lord. Because your ears are hearing something. Are they hearing what thus saith the Lord, or are they hearing what the world says? God says it matters. The world says it doesn't matter. Who are you going to choose? Which way are you going to go? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will help us today, O God. Lord, that we will have those hearing ears. How many times in your word did you say, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear? We just gloss that over, but God, we're stopping on that first part today. God, give me ears to hear, O God. Lord, speak to my heart. When you speak, Lord, I'll be able to understand. I'll be able to hear. I will listen to your word, God. It won't always be for somebody else. Lord, in the name of Jesus, help us this day, God. Lord, to be hearers of the word and not doers only. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for